What a beautiful morning. Yeah. Yes, what a wonderful day. Y'all look out there.
We are having some beautiful mornings, especially if you manage to catch the sunrise, which is nearly 8 a.m. these days, so many of us are catching it. Good morning, I'm Keith Seinfeld. With me is Cliff Mass at the University of Washington. And Cliff, what else is in store?
Well, we have some surprisingly good weather coming up. Today, we have some fog in the lowlands, but it's going to get sunny, partly cloudy. A few sprinkles in the morning, that'll be dissipating. Tomorrow is going to be very interesting. From roughly Tacoma North, it's going to be dry, and there'll be some partly cloudy skies. But further south, going from southwest Washington and Oregon and along the coast, there'll be some showers and clouds. So two different weather situations. What's happening is the storm system is actually going south of us tomorrow, leaving the northern part of the state in the clear. Sunday, we have a ridge moving in, and so it should be generally dry over the entire state. Maybe some clouds in the morning, but it'll dissipate, so not a bad day. Both Saturday and Sunday, the temperatures will only getting up to around 50, so it's not going to be a heat wave.
So sunny but chilly, basically.
Yeah, right. We're in a relatively cool air mass right now, much cooler than we had a few weeks ago. So, you know, temperatures are getting down to freezing in a few locations at night. And then during the day, we're only getting up into the upper 40s to maybe low 50s in the warmer spots.
And as we go into Monday, Tuesday, are we going to have some of those nice sunrises? I guess we're falling back on the clock, so sunrise will be more like 7 a.m.
That's right. But the bizarre thing is we have one storm system that comes through on late Monday into early Tuesday. But then we get this big ridge in the eastern Pacific, and almost all the storm systems go down into California. So actually, next week does not look bad at all. Relatively dry. But you got to feel sorry for the people in California.
Well, when it starts cooling off this time of year, we start to hear phrases like the freezing level is falling to 3,000 feet or 2,000 feet or whatever. And I know skiers will pay attention to that as we move into winter. I'd like to talk a little bit about how scientists figure out the freezing level.
Well, in fact, we had some snow this week in the mountains. So it's really important to know two things, the freezing level and the snow level. Now, the freezing level is real easy. That's the level in which the temperature drops below freezing. So that's 0 degrees centigrade, 32 degrees Fahrenheit. Above it, it's below freezing.
And that happens at a certain altitude always?
That happens at a certain altitude of the atmosphere, but it varies dramatically. When we have really warm air, even in the winter, that freezing level can be pushed up to 5, 7, 8,000 feet. But then when colder air comes in, the freezing level can drop down to 1,500, 1,000 feet, and sometimes even to sea level when we have really cold air.
And so who's paying attention to that?
Well, first I should tell you the other level, and that's the snow level. What happens is nearly all of our precipitation starts as snow aloft. It falls down, hits the freezing level, and starts melting, but it doesn't melt immediately. It takes about 1,000 feet for that snow to melt into rain.
So I'm imagining snow falling down through the sky, and it passes that magical level where it's below the freezing level, but it doesn't start melting right away, you're saying?
It takes about 1,000 feet for that snow to melt. And so the snow level is typically about 1,000 feet below the freezing level. And in there, you still have snow, but it's wet snow. And below the snow level, it's all rain. So if you're a skier, you want to know where the freezing level is and you want to know where the snow level is. Those are the two biggies.
And who else is paying attention to that?
Well, if you're interested in water resources, the State Department of Transportation, you name it, we have to know those levels. And in fact, we can get information that tells us in real time what those levels are. One of them is we have a machine here at Sand Point near Seattle, which actually gets temperature every half an hour in the atmosphere right above Seattle. We also have airplanes that coming in and out of SeaTac. Many of them have weather sensors on them, and so we can get the temperatures that way. We also have radiosondes, which are balloon-launched observation sensors that we can get temperature with height. So we have a number of ways of getting both the freezing level and therefore the snow level if we assume it's 1,000 feet lower.
And those devices are out there every day?
That's right. We're getting real-time information, and that's crucially important for forecasters.
All right. We'll see how that plays out this winter. Thanks, Cliff.
Sure.
Cliff Mass is a professor of atmospheric sciences at the University of Washington. You can find a link to Cliff's blog at kplu.org. I'm Keith Seinfeld, KPLU News.